It's 28 minutes to the hour of 10. You are listening to Radio Islam International. Time now for the basic fiqh program, and we do have Mufti Zubair Bayat on the program, alhamdulillah. Today we are discussing with regards to the month of Safar, and you'll hear about it inshallah from Mufti Saf, speaking about La Adwa wa La Safar wa La Hamah, and discussions pertaining to the month of Safar inshallah. Let's welcome Mufti Saf on the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Mufti Saab, ab khairiyat se ho?
Ji, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Alhamdulillah. Mufti Saab, as I alluded in the introduction, that inshallah we'll be speaking about the month of Safar.
Ji, Maulana, inshallah we will speak about the month of Safar, and that doesn't mean that we're going to suffer. Inshallah. You know, it's not a month of suffering, as some people unfortunately have this kind of misconception about the month of Safar. So we have to take out that misconception in this discussion today, inshallah, Maulana.
Ji, Mufti Saab, we can start inshallah. And also we remind our listeners, any queries with regards to the topic we are discussing, you may forward it to 48855, that's 48855, or alternatively 0727861548, or give us a call directly on 011-854-1548.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we are all very well aware that the month of Safar actually commenced on Saturday, so that was the first. Yesterday, Sunday, was the second, and today is the third of Safar. This month of Safar, it has no Islamic significance per se. There's no significance to the month of Safar. However, there is a need to dispel a myth regarding Safar. In the days of ignorance and jahiliyyah, there was a tendency of people to believe that Safar is a bad month, it is a month of bad luck. And so they used to be very afraid of Safar, especially the first 13 days of Safar. For some reason they believed that the first 13 days were very bad days.
Mm.
So this is the reason why they would put off all kinds of activities in the month of Safar. They didn't even believe in, you know, they didn't believe in doing anything in the month of Safar, especially the first part of the month. They even regarded marriage as, you know, not good to do in the month of Safar. They feared that if they did married in Safar, then perhaps there would be some bad luck that would come in that marriage, or marriage would break. So this was the kind of misconception based on ignorance and superstition that the people in the days of Jahiliyyah, they held this belief regarding the month of Safar as a bad month, as a month of bad luck and ill fortune. So as we know that Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to clear all the misconceptions and ignorances and darknesses and superstitions. Therefore, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rectified this wrong belief, and he said, like Maulana quoted the hadith in the beginning, La adwa, wa la tiyarata, wa la hamata, wa la safar, that there is no such a thing as contagious diseases, and there's no such a thing as evil omens, and there's no such a thing as safar. In other words, Safar is not evil as people think it is evil.
Mm.
Unfortunately, despite having mentioned this 1,437 years ago and or more, in fact, or maybe around that time, we still find, unfortunately, in the Muslim community, there are pockets of people, it's not everybody, but there are pockets of people who still believe in bad luck in the month of Safar.
Mm.
The remnants of that Jahiliyyah is still present today, Maulana. And so this is why it's so important that we should once more clear this mindset out completely. We should rectify it and put the Islamic position forward that there is no evil in the month of Safar. It is a month like any other month that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, from this also we learn that this concept of bad luck and suspicions, superstitions about things, these are all baseless things in Islam. In fact, regarding Safar, there was all kinds of weird beliefs in amongst the people at that time. There was one belief that there's some kind of a snake that lives in the stomach of a person, and it causes sickness if it becomes active in this month of Safar. Then they believed that marriage was ill-fated in this month. Then they had this idea that business should not be conducted in this month. Then they had this idea that they should not travel in this month because it would be dangerous to travel in this month. So these were some of the kind of superstitions that prevailed in the times of Jahiliyyah. And then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and clarified this matter, and he even taught the people a particular dua to read. That when a person is afflicted by any kind of a whisper of some suspicion or superstition, then he should read this dua, Allahumma la ya'ti bil hasanat illa anta, wa la yadfu as-sayyi'ati illa anta, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allahumma la ya'ti bil hasanati illa anta. Oh Allah, nobody brings goodness but you. Wa la yadfu sayyi'at illa anta. Nobody repels harm but you. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. All harm and all benefit, all comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if a person is afflicted or affected by the whispering or the waswasa or the doubt of some kind of superstitious belief, you know, sometimes these things are ingrained in a person as a child.
Mm.
Because the parents, grandparents, grandmothers especially, you know, grandmother's tales, Maulana, a famous story about the tales of the grandmothers, they sometimes would, you know, come out with all these superstitious beliefs from the olden days, you know. And a person grows up from childhood with these kind of ideas, so they become quite ingrained in a person, quite deeply ingrained, because, you know, what is learnt in childhood is something that you don't generally forget in a hurry.
Gee.
Like the saying in Arabic, al-ilmu fi sighar kan-naqshi ala al-hajar.
Subhanallah.
Whatever is learnt in childhood is like something that has been engraved in stone. So it's a lot of effort to get rid of it. So if a person has, for example, been brought up, or sometimes you find a person coming from a non-Muslim background, and Allah Ta'ala gave that person tawfiq and that person reverted to Islam.
Mm.
So now when they revert to Islam, then they may have come with some baggage of the past. They have all of these past superstitions they came with. And so now how to combat that? So whenever that superstitious belief comes to mind, then read this dua, thinking on the meaning of this dua also, that all goodness comes only from Allah, all harm is only warded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no power to harm or benefit but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, if this dua is read, then that whatever superstitions are there, inshallah, it will at least for that moment of time, the effect of it will be minimized.
Inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala. So, now, some of the kind of superstitions that prevailed in the past, and I think some, quite a bit of it even prevailed in our times.
Mm-hmm.
In all cultures have some superstitions or the other. For example, the famous one is the superstition of the number 13.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it falls on a Friday. Till today, you know, with all the so-called advances in science and technology and rational sciences and logic and all of these things, even in the Western world, we find that there's so much of superstition about the 13th, especially if it happens to be Friday, that the people would not even, you know, go to work on this day. Thousands of people stay away from work on this day in this fear of some bad luck. And there are some buildings that don't even have a 13th floor. They don't even have a room 13.
Hmm.
You know, because they believe that all these things are bad luck.
Subhanallah.
In fact, there is a kind of a jawbreaker, Maulana, to describe this fear of Friday the 13th. It's called Triskaidekaphobia.
Hmm.
Quite a mouthful, right? Triskaidekaphobia.
Hmm.
Right. So there's actually a kind of a fear because of this superstition, the superstitious belief. And then we also find that often people have superstitious beliefs about seeing a black cat.
Subhanallah.
Lucky, you know, we don't believe in these things here. But then there are those people, you know, who have the superstitious belief in an owl. If they see an owl, they have a superstitious belief. Or they get to hear the sound of an owl, or they hear the howl of some animal in the night.
Mm.
Then that gives them superstitious belief. They have this superstitious belief that the month of Shawwal is a bad month for marriage. So the month immediately after Ramadan. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to break that superstition, married Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in the month of Shawwal.
Mm.
And then she was brought to him as a bride in the very month of Shawwal.
Okay.
Like what we'd call Rukhsati was done in the month of Shawwal. And then there is also the superstition regarding, you know, birds flying in a certain direction. If you get up in the morning and you go out and you see a bird flying in a certain direction, then it gives you a certain fear that, you know, things are going to go wrong. People cancel their trips and journeys because of this kind of superstition.
Mm.
So these are some of the superstitions. You mustn't cut, you know, any fabric or anything on a time of an eclipse.
Okay.
They say if you do that, then if a lady is expecting a child, the child is going to have a cleft lip or a cleft palate.
Mm.
This is also a superstitious belief that, you know, you mustn't cut anything on at the time of an eclipse if you're expecting. So that is one superstition that I've heard about, that even today it's prevalent in some people's lives.
Mm.
So like that, I'm sure, Maulana, you are from the younger generation. Maybe you didn't get to hear too many of the old granny stories.
Mm, the big one is the Nazar one that's always prevalent in every generation of this.
Which one is this one, Anna?
Nazar.
Yeah, but you know, Nazar now is something different.
Mm.
Because Nazar is al-ainu haqqun.
Yeah.
Right, Nazar is haqq. That is where, you know, if somebody casts a glance on something with an evil intention or even with a good intention, but it's a very focused and concentrated glance, then that is what is called nazar, and that can harm.
Right.
That is something that can cause a person harm. So may Allah Ta'ala protect us from that. There are certain du'as also to read if somebody is afflicted by the eye or the nazar.
Mm.
Right. But these are, what we're speaking about is pure superstition. They have got absolutely no basis at all. And therefore, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that there is no such a thing as adwa, infectious or contagious diseases, and la tiyarata, and there's no superstitions. Tiyaratu shirkun, O kama qala alayhi salam. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually referred to superstitions as a form of shirk.
Mm.
And mainly it is based on, you know, imagination of a person based on foolish, ignorant beliefs of certain things. It just creates undue fear and cowardice in a person. It creates negativity, you know, hopelessness, pessimism in a person, and life becomes miserable and unhappy for people who believe in superstitions.
Mm.
a person's iman is weakened, you lose trust in Allah Ta'ala, your faith in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gets shaken, and that's how it leads to shirk.
Indeed.
So you start blaming all these things for whatever happens to you, whereas it is destined for you to happen that way. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's great mercy on this ummah and on the believers, that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala safeguarded and protected us from all these forms of harm. That, you know, our deen is opposed to all forms of superstition. It is based on knowledge, on conviction, on yaqeen, on iman. It is based on hope, positivity, on courage, you know. It is based on optimism, tawakkul, trust in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So, therefore, we should not become victim of superstitions. And if there are any superstitious beliefs or talks around in the people, we should make an effort to overcome that, to educate them about it. And we should not become victim of superstitions, nor should we allow anybody from our children and so on. We should discourage them. We should explain to them the harms of superstitions, and that it has got no basis in Islam at all. Yes. In fact, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us the opposite of superstition.
Mm.
And that is to take good omens and good signs.
MashaAllah.
When Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَيُعْجِبُنِي الْفَعْلِ, you know, it I like to take a good omen, a good sign.
Mm.
And then they asked him, what is a good al-fal, a good sign, a good omen? He said, a kalimatun tayyiba, a good word, to take a good meaning of something, to try and take a positive thing. This was the temperament and the tabiat and the mizaj of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was a very positive person. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not encourage any form of negativity, negativism, pessimism. There was always hope, optimism, you know, an optimistic outlook. So when a person has got that outlook, then you look for good in everything.
Mm.
And you try to find a good omen, a good sign. So therefore, whenever Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba were encountered by some situation, then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked for a good sign. For example, if there was a negotiation between them and the non-Muslims, I can't remember the exact situation, Maulana, but it does come in the Hadith Kitabs that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the person his name. For example, yes, it comes in one narration,
Hudaybiyah.
The person's name was Sahal.
Hmm.
Or Suhail.
Suhail, Maulana.
Suhail, yes, Suhail. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know, Al-amru sahlun, wa sahalallahu lana al-amr, something to that effect, that, oh, inshallah, our matter will be easy because the man's name is Suhail. Suhail means, you know, something that's easy, comes from ease, sahal. Alright? So here now, Nabi Akram Sallam took a good meaning. Now, whether the good meaning happens or not, that is in Allah's control. But what do we lose by taking a good meaning? At least we're saving ourselves from torment and, you know, mental torture. So therefore, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually encouraged taking good meanings of things. He would like good names. And from names, he would then take out good meanings and he would give, you know, some good words and sometimes good predictions, and all of which came out to be true. You know, he would even change bad names and make them into good names, so that all around there must be good that must prevail. Badness must be, you know, defeated. It must be relegated to the background, and good must be brought to the fore. So we find that therefore Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even changed names of people. If a person's name was Harb, Harb means to fight and war, then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed that person's name to something that had a better meaning. There was one person, his name was Huzn. Huzn means grief and sorrow. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed his name and he told him, no, don't keep this name. He said, "What? I can't change the name. My father and grandfather kept this name." So it was a recommendation. Nabi Akram Sallallahu did not force people to change their names. He just advised. So this person did. They say one person came in the seventh generation of this person, Huzan, who was a Sahabi of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says that because my grandfather, my forefather didn't change the name when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam suggested, our whole generation after generation is afflicted with depression.
Allahu Akbar.
Because the word Huzan means grief and sadness.
Hmm.
And who said this here, Maulana? Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Great Tabi'in, Sayyidu Tabi'in.
Hmm. Also
so it goes to show that how a name can have an effect even.
Hmm.
Therefore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed the name from bad to good. So we must have, when we look around us, look for positive signs, look for good signs.
Hmm.
You know, when you see, even when we're traveling and we see something that comes up, take a good sign out of it. You see, for example, you know, suddenly rain comes down at a certain occasion.
Mm.
I've witnessed, alhamdulillah, in a few janazas, Maulana, that as you proceeding to the qabr, a little shower comes, a slight drizzle comes, and we take a good sign. Ah, subhanallah, Allah's rahmat is, and mercy is descending.
MashaAllah.
And sometimes you find that, you know, in the case of, the you know, some of the big nights, for example, you see a little drizzle comes or a rain, a light shower comes. So you say, MashaAllah, the rains are coming down, rahmat is coming down.
Mm.
You will hope, inshallah, spiritual rain is also going to come.
Inshallah.
You know, on occasions like that. So we should always try and look for good signs. Nevertheless, just to round it off, I think time is almost against us, Maulana. One thing is that we should remember that the only bad luck is bad character.
Mm.
And good luck is good character. Otherwise, there's no such a thing as bad luck in Islam.
Mm.
Bad luck and all of these things are all based on superstition.
Right.
So therefore, to combat this, ideas of bad luck and superstition, all of these things, we must ignore all the doubts or wasawis that come in mind, and we must be resolute and firm and go ahead and do whatever we have to do with no fear whatsoever.
Mm.
And we should recite the appropriate du'as and seek Allah Ta'ala's help and have faith and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That way we will overcome superstition.
Jeez.
So this was a brief discussion about the month of Safar. There's no special significance about this month, except that this month is not a month of bad luck as was believed in the days of Jahiliyyah, especially the first 13 days. So that has all been explained and cleared. Yes, there's one last thing that I may just touch on, Maulana, in a minute or so, if it's possible.
Yes, most definitely.
You know, what is istikhara? Now, when a person does istikhara, then in istikhara what happens is we may get a negative sign.
Hmm.
In other words, something to discourage us from taking a decision. So that is not bad luck.
Hmm.
There we have sought guidance from Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala is showing us a negative sign, and that is a kind of a reply to us.
Gee.
That we shouldn't go ahead with doing something. So that is different from the concept of bad luck. That is just taking a cue or getting a feeling based on the istikhara that was made for a particular matter or particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, besides istikhara, we should not have any kind of negative mindset and suspicions and all of these things. So with these words, I think we can conclude today's program.
Jim, just quickly, there's a nice book in this regards to suspicions, Aghlatul Awam by Mala Ashraf Ali Thani, rahmatullahi alayhi.
Yes, mashallah. Correct.
There's one common one, cutting your or paring your nails at night. They say if you do it, then there'll be poverty, you know, things like it.
Yeah, but these things, there may be some, you know, sayings of some people, or there's not even a hadith. Some people, they convey this as if it is a hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But that is not true. If the nails are long and it needs to be cut and a person didn't get time to cut it during the daytime, by all means we cut it at night, Maybe in the past, because you couldn't see too well and you could hurt yourself, so they discouraged it. Like Qurbani at night, it was said early on it's makruh, because you couldn't see at night. But now with big, you know, floodlights and all of that, there's no karahat at all. You can cut the animal at night just as you can cut it during the daytime. Because the reason for cutting it or not cutting at night is not found. So, yes, in fact, another good kitab on this also is Hazrat Ramtullah Hazrat Mohan Thanvi's kitab, Islahur Rusum, where he corrects, you know, all these cult customs and all of these things also at the same time.
Jazakumullah, Mufti Sahib, it has been a very educational half an hour, alhamdulillah, for us.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Mawlana. We shall continue, inshallah, with our other discussions in the future program.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.